Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Now, I mentioned this on Sunday morning, but I mentioned it once again. You know, obviously, this coming Sunday is Easter Sunday. I read a statistic the other day saying that the 80% of the people say the reason they don't come to church is no one invited them. And I forgot the percentage of people who said if they're invited on Easter Sunday, they would come, because a lot of people grew up, you know, coming to church on Easter and Christmas. And so this is a good Sunday to invite someone to come to church, especially if you know they don't go to church. You know, maybe the, you know, a really good way to invite them is say, hey, you come to church and we'll take you for dinner afterwards. And you can go to Waffle House or some kind of expensive restaurant like that. I like Waffle House, actually, but, you know, I'm joking about expensive. But anyway, you know, but Easter Sunday is, you know, an awesome time. And also, too, if someone does come that's maybe a visitor and they happen to sit in your seat, then don't get mad. All right, just be glad that they're here. You know, because sometimes we get so accustomed sitting in the same seat, you know, all the time, and we don't expect anyone to sit there. But these people, they're visitors. They didn't know that was your seat. All right, they thought it was an open seat. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles or your device, turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke the 8th chapter, and we're going to talk about what to do in the middle of your storm. Anyway, Luke chapter 8, it says this, New King James. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day that as he got into a boat with his disciples, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And then there was a calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him.'" I thought that's kind of interesting that they would say that at the end, because the reason they woke him up was to do something. You know, I mean, obviously they've been traveling with him, you know, well, at least this is Luke chapter 8. So there's 7 chapters here. They've traveled with Jesus. And so, you know, you would think that they would like, okay, he's just at it again. You know, not, you know, they weren't amazed. But, you know, this says that they got in the boat. But the first thing that Jesus did when they got in the boat, he said, "Let's go over to the other side." Now, if Jesus says a command, don't you think it's going to happen? He didn't say, "Hey, guys, let's go to the middle of the lake and drown." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Hey, we're going to try to get to the other side." He didn't say, "We're going to pray about whether we can make it to the other side." He didn't say, "You know, we're going to think about it, and maybe if everything works out, we're going to make it to the other side." No, he said, "Let us go to the other side." Now, obviously, you know, Jesus didn't have Travis Meyer, you know, giving him a weather forecast, or he didn't have, you know, the internet or the Weather Channel or things like that. But more than likely, you know, a lot of times you can look out and see it looks kind of stormy. You know, I mean, you know, so Jesus probably knew that it was going to be rough. Now I do know there's been times whenever you know, the way we do things with our airplane, the pilots tell us, if they tell us we don't fly, we don't fly. You know, but I was with my parents one time on the airplane, and the pilot came back, and he says, "Mrs. Hagen," because, you know, mom's always the one that makes all the real decisions, said, there's more truth to that than you know. Anyway, so he said to my mom, says, "We can make it. The plane will make it okay. But, you know, I want to let you know it's going to be a little rough, a little turbulent. But we're going to make it. Fine. I mean, you know, there's no problems. You know, I they didn't want to get griped out. Like, why didn't you make us fly in this turbulent weather?" They wanted to tell her ahead of time. It turned out that mom decided she didn't want to be turbulent, and we stayed home. We stayed wherever we were. But the thing about it is, you know, we were going to make it regardless. All right? And if we weren't going to make it, we wouldn't have been in the thing. But Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." Now, if Jesus said something, wouldn't you think that Jesus would mean it? You think he was lying, like, you know, I'm just joking, guys. We're going to go die in the middle of the lake. No, I mean, obviously, Jesus meant when he says, let us go to the other side. So they launched out. Now, as they sailed, it said he fell asleep. Now, you understand, this is not a cruise ship. Now, Pastor Bill likes to go on cruises all the time. He was on the biggest boat. What's that boat called that you were on? The Icon of the Sea. He was on the maiden voyage. And you can Google that, man. You know, actually, while he was there, kept coming to my Facebook talking about how big and how awesome the boat is. Jesus was not on the Icon of the Sea, okay? He was on a normal boat. And so more than likely, Jesus could fill, I mean, the boat was filled up with water, according to what the description says. So more than likely, Jesus could probably feel the waves and the wind, but he didn't wake up. This guy sleeps soundly. I wish I could sleep like that. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm assuming, you know, this is an open boat. This is not like, you know, it's not a cruise ship. He wasn't, you know, under the thing. He's there in the back sleeping in the middle of a storm. Now, you know, I will say this. I mean, there's been a number of times here, you know, because we live in Tornado Alley, and for some of you Rhema students that are here that are not used to Oklahoma weather or whatever, you know, I always say a prerequisite to come to Rhema, you need to watch Twister first, you know, to make sure you understand what to do during a tornado. And Twister 2's coming out soon, so you can watch Twister 2, you know, but there has been a number of times a tornado comes in the middle of the night, all right? And so, you know, everyone seems to get kind of concerned. I mean, we do turn on, watch my buddy Travis, you know. I text Travis sometimes and, you know, just say, hey, we're praying for a good weather forecast. One time, I can't remember what it was, and he goes, well, you might be disappointed if things don't change. But anyway, there was something I needed good weather for. I wanted warm weather, and he told me, he goes, but next week should be better. So anyway, but you know, we turn, you know, Channel 6 on and watch the weather or whatever. But, you know, in the middle of the night, I like to sleep. I mean, you know, I just, normally what I do is I take authority over it and go back to bed. Because that's what Jesus would do. You know, remember the bumper stickers, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, according, you know, looking at Luke chapter 8, if Jesus was alive in Tulsa, Oklahoma during a tornado, he would be asleep. Amen. You know, if it's middle of the night or whatever. Because, I mean, you know, now I told my wife, there was one time and they wanted to take cover or whatever. I think my stepdaughter took cover. She went in the pantry because the pantry, ooh, a really big pantry right in the middle of the house. And sometimes I just tell her to go in there and stay in there, you know. And she's like, can I come out yet? Nope, don't come out yet. I mean, it was, you know, she was a typical teenager. You know, rather have the pantry, you know, not talking or anything. So both of them took shelter. And I said, you know what? If I need to take shelter, God will wake me up and tell me to go take shelter. So I didn't take shelter. And I kept sleeping. But, you know, just because. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, I took authority over it. And so his disciples, you know, like I said, the boat was filling with water. Now that's kind of concerning when your boat starts filling with water. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat filling with water. I haven't. I don't plan to ever be. But, you know, I'm sure it's kind of concerning. And so the disciples, they came to him and woke him up. And one of the translations says they woke him up, you know, very loudly or something like that. It was, you know, it wasn't like that they were like, hey, Jesus, you know, can you get up? They were like, Jesus! You know. Now, Jesus woke up and, you know, obviously, it says he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging water and they ceased and there was a calm. Well, why was there a calm? Because Jesus spoke to the waves and the water. But the next thing he says, but he said to them, where is your faith? Now, so meaning that to me, that either meant one or two things. Either they should have had enough faith that no matter that they were going to get to the other side, no matter what, so they could just shut up and weather the storm, or they could open their mouth and speak to the storm, and the storm should cease. All right? But, you know, here's the thing. As soon as the storm began to happen, they begin to get afraid. Now, Jesus gave them that command to go, let's go to the other side, but they forgot that command because they saw the storm. They were too busy looking at the storm instead of thinking about that they're carrying the most precious cargo, you know, that they could have, Jesus Christ, in the back of their boat. All right, but Jesus isn't just in your boat. He's in your heart. You realize wherever you go, Jesus said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, he goes with you. Anytime you face a storm, you're not facing the storm alone. You're never home alone with Jesus Christ. You're never by yourself. You might think you're by yourself because there's no other human being there. Maybe just you and your dog or your cat, if you're a cat person, or your gerbil or whatever you might have, rattlesnake or whatever. Hopefully not a rattlesnake, but some people like snakes. You know, some people, you know, but no matter what your storm is, Jesus is with you. And just like he was in the boat with them, he's in your boat too. And, you know, I think he's saying the same thing. Why don't you speak to your storm? Why don't you say something? Why don't you do something? You know, I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. You can do it yourself. You don't need me. You know, haven't I taught you? And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, speaking in the name of Jesus. Using his name. In the name of Jesus, storm, you got to stop. Now, it is interesting, too. It's, for whatever reason, our thought life, we think, well, we can't do that. Why can't you? I know around here, for whatever reason, you know, people always think that my mom is the weather lady. I don't know, you know, back when we had rockets over Rama, it was like, you know, we had to depend on my mom to make sure it didn't rain or whatever. But you know what? You know, she's no special person. I mean, she's a great person, but I'm just saying, she doesn't have any more faith than we all have. It's just she actually believes what she says. Do you believe what you say? And where is your faith? And that's the thing. A lot of times, we're so busy looking at our storm and our problems and our situations that we forget about who's in our boat. We forget about our authority. I mean, maybe you need to go pick up another copy of Authority of the Believer. Maybe you lost yours or gave yours away. Go get another copy or go get a digital copy. That way you'll never lose it because it'll always be with you. You know, and read it again because you have authority to speak to your storm. Because, you know, I get it. We all have storms in life. Do you realize that? I mean, you know, you're not special. You're not the only one that's ever faced a storm. You're like, yeah, but mine's bigger than yours. Well, what are you, fourth grade or something like that? I mean, you know, we all face some big storms sometimes. All right? But you know what? It doesn't take any more faith for a big storm than it does a small storm either. And that's the thing about it. Now, you know, we all know Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, 22 actually is my favorite verse. And it says this, so Jesus answered and said to them, talking to his disciples, the same one who had no faith during the storm, he said, have faith in God. Now the deal is our faith is in God. So when you speak to your storm, your faith is not into what you say. Your faith is into what God says. Your faith is in him. He's the one that's going to do something about the storm. You're just a speaker. All right, you're just a messenger. Have you ever heard the term, don't shoot the messenger? You're just a messenger. All right, God is the doer. So when you're speaking to a storm, it's not that you have to do anything special. You just got to open your mouth. All right, and how many times do we not open our mouth when we face a storm? Because usually the first thing that we do when we head a storm is we start getting afraid. Sometimes we cry about it. Sometimes we go to social media and write about it, you know, because we want everyone to be, you know, we want everyone to feel sorry for us or whatever, you know. And sometimes I actually think the only person who's not praying for you is yourself. I think everyone else, hey, I'm praying. You know, and now here's the other thing. If you tell someone in social media you're praying for them, then pray for them. All right? You know, or maybe you'll say, I'm keeping you in my prayers. Well, you know, well, what if I don't remember? Well, pray for them right there so at least you didn't lie. I mean, you know, I read something today, and as soon as I read it, you know, someone who I happened to know, and I didn't know the situation, I finally found out because I was able to text them and get the situation, but as soon as I heard the news, and I didn't really know what the news was because they didn't share a whole lot. They just said, you know, we need your prayers, and they, you know, talked about, their wife was going to have some surgery or whatever, so I just started praying for them. Now, you know, I didn't know what I was praying for. I just know, you know, there's a situation happening. Now I was able to answer my text and I was able to know and I could, you know how to pray now. But, you know, at the time I didn't know how to pray. So I just prayed a generic prayer, but when we face a storm, we're not alone, first of all. All right. And, the other side about it is, now, the disciples, obviously, when you're in the middle of the boat, you don't get to choose who you surround yourself with because you have the 12 guys that were with you, all right? But, sometimes when you face a storm, maybe you need to be selective of who you surround yourself with, all right? Because sometimes you surround yourself with people who help you, and sometimes you surround your people that tend to not help you. A lot of people, during the middle of your storm, give anti-testimonies to you. What do you mean? They talk about bad things that are happening. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Did you know? Oh, man, my mother-in-law had the same thing happen. Oh, it was terrible. Oh, man, I don't wish that on anybody. maybe you should surround yourself with some people that will stand with you in the middle of your storm. And that will not back down, but will stand strong. But you know the thing about it is, you're going to make it. There's not a storm too big for your God. You're going to make it. Now, Mark 11:22. You know, another translation says, "Have the God kind of faith." And the God kind of faith is simple. The best example. Whenever I asked the Lord one time, "How can I give an example of the God kind of faith?" I don't know what that means. And he took me back to the beginning. And in the beginning, the Bible says that the earth was null and void, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the God kind of faith. He spoke into existence. He spoke the light into existence by just simply speaking the word. Now, if we actually analyze what this, really he did exactly what Jesus was talking about in Mark chapter 11, because when God spoke to the atmosphere, when he said, "Let there be light," he said it with his mouth, he believed it in his heart, and he had what he said. Because obviously, did God expect light not to come on? Just like, did Jesus expect the storm not to stop? I mean, when Jesus said storm cease, he meant it. And, so we have to mean it. Like, the storm has the storm cannot devour you. Now, the devil will tell you, but we read in the book, the devil's a liar. We know he's a liar. I'm here to tell you the devil's going to lie to you all the time. And he might use people to do it. All right. And, people who don't seem like liars, but there are a lot of times people are trying to tell you facts. There's facts and there's faith. And sometimes your facts go contrary to your faith. Sometimes you go to the doctor and you get facts that don't line up with what your faith says. Now, don't get mad at the doctor because the doctor is just a messenger. They just ran the test. But, we don't have to believe what we see. We have to believe what we know. And instead of getting so worried about it and concerned about it, we need to be calm. I mean, Jesus was pretty calm in the middle of a storm. I mean, he didn't wake up. So he was thinking, obviously, he had to be getting wet. I mean, you know, sometimes I wish I was actually, you know, there was a video camera to see if he was actually getting wet or not, because he's probably getting wet, you know, because of storm, you know, when the storm hits a boat, it usually splashes over the top and does all that kind of stuff. You know, I have been out in the lake a few times whenever storms came, you know, before I could get back to shore, and we had a little, you know, we had some splashes and things like that. So if he was getting wet, you know, you would think he'd wake up, but maybe it just wasn't worth his time. You know, there's times when I'm sleeping, and, you know, and there's things going on, people making noise or whatever, and I could get up, but I don't want to because I'm tired. And I just kind of roll over and keep sleeping. I think that's probably what Jesus did. He probably got a little wet and kind of rolled over, kind of put his arm over so he didn't get wet, or maybe pulled a blanket up over his head and kept sleeping. Because what did he care? We're going to the other side. He didn't say we're going to go to the middle and drown. You're not going to drown in the middle of your storm. I mean, you know, you shouldn't even think that. If you think you're going to drown, you're going to drown. You're going to have whatever you say. See, sometimes we're saying one thing and thinking something else. That's when we need to renew our mind. Now, sometimes I get it. The devil will try to talk to your mind. But when he talks to your mind, doesn't mean you have to speak it out. What you need to do is, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Say, oh, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. You've been whipped. We're going to the other side of this storm. We're going to get through this. And the devil will try to say, well, how were you going to get through it? That's not my problem. My problem is not the how. I'm just a sayer. I'm just a speaker. I'm just the one, like you said, you know, Mark chapter 11, right here in verse 22, verse 23, it says this. Let me use my face ID to unlock my thing. It says this, for assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, now I want to clarify this. The Bible says whoever, doesn't just say us 12 disciples and no more, all right? It says whoever says to that mountain, so whoever includes you, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, it doesn't say you might have whatever you say. It doesn't say, well, pray about whether you're going to have what you say. It says, if you speak to this mountain and you say it and you believe it, that's the thing. Do you believe it, and do you keep believing it? Because sometimes we say it one time, but then the next day we don't really believe it because maybe the storm gets worse. Have you ever been there and you're going through some kind of situation and it seems like, you know, you pray about it and instead of getting better, it gets worse? You know, hey, I've been in some football games before, you know, and we were getting beat, and then we were getting beat worse, but in the end, we ended up winning. All right? Now, we didn't always win, but here's the thing. With Jesus, you always win. It doesn't matter how worse it gets. You know, well, so, you know, it's getting worse. So, I mean, you know, that's why the disciples are getting kind of upset, because the water was getting in the boat. If enough water gets in the boat, they're going to sink. If they're going to sink, they won't make it to the other side. Jesus did not say, let it swim to the other side. He did not say that. So let's go to the other side. He wasn't planning on ever swimming. All right, if he was planning on swimming, he would have put his swim trunks on and just started swimming instead of falling asleep. And so, you know, the deal is that our mind tries to tell us that we're not going to get through the storm. Remember, Jesus never leaves your boat. He's never going to leave your boat. Even if you don't talk to him, he's not going to leave your boat. In fact, the Bible even says he's standing at the door and knocking, waiting for people to open up. He's not going to leave you alone. He's there with you. Now, you know, he has given you the authority, though. You know, people don't realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he then gave you the keys. He gave you the authority to speak in his name. And he says, the things that I did and greater things shall you do because I'm at the right hand of the Father. Well, one thing that he did was whenever he faced a storm, he spoke to it and the wind ceased and the storm ceased. And Jesus told us the things that he did and greater things shall you do because he's still there with you. So we have, you know, chapter and verses that whenever we face the storm, we're going to make it. We shouldn't even think that we're not going to make it. Why should we think we're not going to make it? I mean, Jesus, he didn't take us this far to let us down. Now, the only way you're not going to make it, if you decide you're not going to make it. See, you have to decide. You have to stand in faith. And faith, according to Webster's New World Dictionary or yourdictionary.com, is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. All right? You don't have any proof or evidence, you know, because many people are like, well, how is this going to happen? I don't know how. And in fact, I think the best thing is not to know how. Because if you know how it could happen, then you're going to try to do it. Even if it's, you know, there's things that are impossible and there's things that are improbable. All right, in an impossible situation, there's no way you could do it. Improbable, you know, you have like a 5% chance of doing it, but you can try. You know, maybe you have a 25% chance or whatever. Verse 24 goes on, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, you know, when this says that when you pray is when you have it. You don't have it whenever it happens. You have it when you pray by faith. Now, I've heard a lot of people have, I was reading here recently online, and somebody kept telling this person that they just didn't have enough faith. And I actually wrote them, you know, and I actually quoted Matthew 17:20. Now, I actually didn't bring my prop tonight. Sorry, I left it on the bookshelf at home. But it says this, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, so you don't have to have a lot of faith because, you know, I didn't bring my mustard seed container. I think there's like 50,000 mustard seeds in like a $5 container. Well, it might be more than $5 now because of Bidenomics. But anyway, a little container of mustard seed in your spice aisle, there's like 50,000 mustard seeds. The mustard seed is the smallest edible seed known to man. There is a flower seed that's a little smaller, and I guess you could eat it if you're a cow or something like that, you know, but I guess if you're a human, if you really want to eat flowers, but mustard seeds are very, very small. And that says, if you have that much faith, you can move a mountain. So how much faith do you need for a few thousand dollars? How much faith do you need for the small things? You don't need a lot of faith. You know, my grandfather used to say that person doesn't have enough faith to even blow their nose or whatever. But, you know, we don't have to have very much faith. So when people say you don't have enough faith, you know, they're an idiot. All right, you have enough faith. If you're born again, you have enough faith because you had faith to get saved. If you have faith to get saved, then you have faith to get healed. You have faith for finance. You have faith for everything. You have enough faith. So don't listen to that lie. I don't care, you know, you say, well, yeah, but they're brother so-and-so. I don't care. They can be brother, sister so-and-so. They can be doctor so-and-so. They can be any so-and-so. Doesn't matter what they say. The deal is, you only have to have a little bit of faith to move a mountain. I mean, any teeny weeny bit of faith. I mean, you know, probably even smaller than that. I mean, mustard seeds are very, very small. And if you've never seen one, then go to Walmart or whatever store. Go to the spice aisle, buy you a thing of mustard seeds, and you can see how small they really are. I used to keep them on my Bible all the time. The reason is because I preach about mustard seeds a lot. And then one time I actually said, I was trying to tell people how small mustard seed was. So someone gave me a bag of mustard seeds. So I put them in front of my Bible. I always kept them there. But now I preach with an iPad. So they're still in the front of my Bible, you know, but I don't have my Bible with me. But I do have a container sitting on my bookshelf, always sitting on my bookshelf, same place that I knew right where it was. And I said, I'm going to grab it off my bookshelf before I walk out the door. And I forgot. So anyway, but you can go to Walmart, pick up your own mustard seed, and you can look at it and think, man, I don't need much faith. I don't need much faith to calm my storm. I don't need much faith to move a mountain. I don't need much faith at all. You know, but like I said, Jesus asks, that's why he says, you know, where's your faith? You know, oh, you have little faith. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. The deal is we get distracted and we start looking at our storm instead of looking at Jesus. We start, you know, think about, I mean, you know, we serve the same God that did all these miraculous things. I mean, we can go step by step all the way through the Bible, all these miraculous things that God did for people. And then, you know, I'm sure in life that you've heard or maybe happened, you know, many testimonies that have happened. And if God can do that for them, he can do it for you too. All right. But the thing is, you are going to face storms. You know, I mean, people think, well, once you become a Christian, you don't face any storms. They're a liar. I think once you become a Christian, you face more storms. Why? Because the devil doesn't want to come. I mean, he doesn't care. If you're driving to hell, he doesn't care. He'll let you go. But if you're coming against his kingdom, he's going to try to stop you. And, you know, you're going to have storms. But, you know, it's no big deal. It's not a big deal. You're going to get through it. You're going to make it to the other side. Jesus is never going to jump out of your boat. He's never jumping out. He's there, and if he's resting, I might as well rest too. You know, maybe the next time you face a storm, you say, I'm just going to go sleep. You know, because a lot of times whenever we face a storm, we can't go to sleep at nighttime. Anyone ever been like that? You can't sleep. Well, I thought that was stupid, so I started sleeping. Because see, the Bible talks about casting your cares upon the Lord. If I cast my cares upon the Lord, that means I have no more cares. So if I'm staying up, that means I have a care. And if I have a care, I haven't cast them on the Lord, so I need to do that at that point in time. So any time that I can't go to sleep because I'm concerned about a situation, I cast those on the Lord and I go to sleep. All right, I want to sleep like Jesus did in the boat. All right, you know, I always wear my watch when I sleep, and I want to get that deep sleep. I mean, you know, that deep, deep sleep. And I mean, you know, I pride myself. I look at my watch. I want to make sure that I hit the deep sleep for a long time. You know, because I tend not to sleep for many hours, but I want to make sure that the majority of hours I sleep is deep. You know, and so, and I don't know. I mean, there's been times when I wake up out of a deep sleep, and you know, you feel like you're all woozy and you can't even hardly move because you woke up out of a deep sleep. I'm like, man, just let me sleep. You know, unfortunately, we have dogs at home, and anyone who need a dog, we have a dog rescue. OkayRough.com. Plenty of dogs. That way I can sleep longer if they don't bark in the morning time because some dogs have to go to the bathroom. But you know what? You're gonna make it through your storm every time. So next time you get a storm, instead of worrying about it, turn to your Bible, you know, and turn it and see what Jesus did. What did Jesus do in the middle of the storm? He slept. He rested. Now, I get, you know, the disciples, you know, they all couldn't rest because someone had to steer the ship. You know, it was a sailboat, so I don't know, but, but at least 9 of them probably could have slept. I would have been like, you know what? You guys just worry about, I'm going to go sleep with Jesus. You know, why should I worry about everything? I'm just going to, you know, go to sleep. I mean, you know, you say, well, yeah, but do you not know what's going on? No, I don't care. Why don't you care? Because I casted my care upon him. So I now don't care. You know, there's been many times, and actually, Dan Taylor, Dan's worked for me for a long time, and so he figured out when I say I don't care, I mean, I don't care. I really don't. There's many times, you know, Dan's like, you know, said something like, I said, yeah, I don't care.
So you know, sometimes he thinks I probably do care. But no, if I say I don't care, I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. I'm cool with it. I don't care. So if I'm going to cast my cares upon him, that means I don't care anymore. If I don't care anymore, I can sleep. So the next time you can't sleep because you're worried about some kind of situation, then you need to not care anymore. You need to cast your care upon him and let him care and go to sleep like Jesus. Let Jesus be your example. You're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side. It's going to be okay. You know, I'll leave you off with an example. We were at Winter Bible Seminar one time. Right, I was standing right over there, and I talked to this pastor who just recently took over a church from you know, a longtime pastor was there. Unfortunately, like happens sometimes when the longtime pastor left and just a younger man that took over the church, some people left. And so I saw him Winter Bible Seminar, and I asked him, because I spoke at a camp meeting whenever they had the passing of the torch ceremony or whatever. So, you know, that's the first time I've seen him since they passed the torch to him. I'm like, how's things going? And he goes, he tells me how bad it was. All right. And so I really didn't want him. I was, you know, I thought he was going to tell me I'm doing good, but no, he tells me how bad it was. And you know what? I looked at him. I said, it's going to be okay. You know, now this wasn't by faith. I mean, this wasn't, he took that. It was like a prophetic word from heaven. I was actually trying to shake more people's hands. You know, I just said, you know, dude, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it. I'm just telling him he's going to be okay. So I get an email like 6 or 7 months later. And I mean, the church finances had went down. They had to let everybody go. I mean, the secretary, all this kind of stuff, you know, go. And he was the only one on staff now. And, you know, he was having to work a side job and stuff like that. He wrote me 6 months, 7 months, maybe a little, you know, later, you know, saying, you know, when you prophesied to me at Winter Bible Seminar, I'm like, I said, it's going to be okay. He said, from that point on, things took a turn. He said, our church finance went up. There was an investment that the pastor had made a long time ago that we didn't even know about. And the company called us, you know, and said, man, this investment's gone way up. You know, and so, I mean, they had tons of money. They didn't think they had any money in the bank. And they had tons of money in an investment situation that nobody knew about. You know, whatever. And so he said, I was able to hire everybody back. Things are going awesome, whatever, all because of the word that I prophesied over him. I prophesied it's going to be okay. But see, he took those words like they were words from heaven. So I'm going to prophesy to you, it's going to be okay. You're like, well, did you get that special word? No, that's what the Bible says. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it through your storm, just like they made it through their storm. See, he didn't know what to do. Really, what he needed was someone to tell him it's going to be okay. But he stood on that word. He says, every time that it looked like it wasn't going to happen, I went back to Winter Bible Seminar when you gave me that prophetic word. I'm like, I just said it's going to be okay. It wasn't really a prophetic word, but to him it was. And it can be to you. So I'm here to tell you, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side. You're going to get through it. So just relax and go to sleep. Not right now. Wait till you get home. All right. And don't sleep in the car on the way home. You know, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching online. And Father God, we just thank you that you'll help them in whatever situation they're going through. The next time they go through a storm, help them to remember this sermon. Help them to remember it's going to be okay. Help them to remember that Jesus will never leave them nor forsake them, that he's always in their boat, that they're always going to make it, that they're always going to get through. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, praise God. You know, the way you can stand up, the way we do things here on Wednesday night, we have the prayer team coming down here. If you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, a healing, whatever it might be, if you need prayer, some gentlemen over here, ladies over there. If you're a gentleman, go see the gentleman. If you're a lady, go see the ladies, you know, and they'll pray for you. If you're a first-time visitor, I don't think there was any visitors, but if there was, Connection Team is there. They have a gift for you in the north lobby. We want to do that. Remember, once again, it's Easter Sunday coming up.
invite someone to come to church. If you know someone in your neighborhood or someone you know that doesn't attend church, then invite them to come. You know, the worst thing they can say is no. So invite somebody else. And they can say no too. And keep in mind, find someone who's going to say yes. Do you realize if everyone invites someone to come to church, that will fill the place up? Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget, here's Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. God bless you guys. Have a great day. And once again, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it.